This year marks the 50th anniversary of Gideon versus Wainwright, in which the U.S. Supreme Court held that the Sixth Amendment granted a constitutional right to legal counsel in state court felony proceedings. Even though the Sixth Amendment was part of the Bill of Rights and had been law for about 170 years, this federal right was not extended to the states until this 1963 case. Even though Gideon stands as a watershed event in legal history, Gideon's promise of justice for all has not been fulfilled on a number of fronts. First, Gideon requires states to provide attorneys without cost to indigent defendants, but leaves each state to define for itself which defendants can and cannot afford legal counsel. Not only does the exact meaning of indigent vary from state to state, but it is generally set low enough that it excludes the working poor, for whom financing an aggressive criminal defense would be virtually impossible. For example, some of the more generous states define indigent as making less than 150% of the federal guidelines. But a defendant would qualify only if she made less than around $17,000 a year, approximately the same as a full-time minimum wage worker in Illinois. Second, this fundamental right to counsel applies only to criminal cases in which imprisonment is possible, not to the more common civil cases. Therefore, states have great leeway in providing or not providing counsel to those involved in serious proceedings affecting housing, child custody and removal, domestic abuse protective orders, and child support proceedings where imprisonment is possible. California recently followed the path of a few states in passing the Sargent Shriver Civil Counsel Act, which provides indigent defendants with counsel in civil proceedings involving basic human needs, such as housing and child custody. However, most states do not provide civil Gideon counsel. Third, and probably even more importantly, Gideon requires states, not the federal government, to pick up the bill for indigent defense. As you might guess, budget constraints prevent funding of defense counsel at levels anywhere near even the relatively robust, but also cash-strapped, prosecutorial budgets. Though some states and cities have established programs similar to federal public defender offices, other jurisdictions rely on court-appointed lawyers who bring varying levels of acumen and expertise in return for extremely low hourly rates, with little extra for investigators and scientific testing. Moreover, complaints of ineffective assistance of counsel rarely succeed in reversing defendants' convictions, unless particularly egregious, if even then. Increasing spending aimed at citizens accused of crimes is never going to be a popular platform for a local politician. The Sargent Shriver Civil Counsel Act benefited from an economic climate in which many residents worried about foreclosure proceedings, but voters rarely believe they will be criminal defendants. Therefore, though the right to counsel is a constitutional right, the funding of this mandate is subject to political will. Accordingly, Stephen Bright, president of the Southern Center for Human Rights, succinctly points out that no constitutional right is celebrated so much in the abstract and observed so little in reality as the right to counsel. This is Christine Hurt.